Please be seated. Our verses today are full of a number of paradoxes, and that's not uncommon in the Psalms. It's one of the things that makes the Psalms a little bit challenging to mine and get some stuff out of. Today, we're going to be focusing on the first of the paradoxes that are presented in these verses from Psalm 116. We're going to be looking at this idea that in order to give something to God, first we have to massively get something from God. Our verses are from Psalm 116. We'll start reading at verse 12, and we'll read through to verse 16. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So right off the bat, we've got something a little bit unusual going on here. Verse 1 has the word render. Render has a lot of meanings, and it's antiquated. We don't use it very often. The Hebrew word that this is being taken from is the word asiv, and it means to, like, return back something or, like, reciprocate. If you've had me for classes, then you've almost certainly heard me bang on about reciprocity and how, you know, if somebody gives you something, then all of a sudden you're obligated to give something back. And God has given us something enormous. Even before we start thinking about stuff like forgiveness and salvation and all that stuff, the eternal stuff that we talk about in here, even before we start thinking about all of that, God has given us more than we could ever adequately say thank you for, more than we could ever adequately repay. He's given us our lives, and he's given us our stuff, and he's given us the ability to enjoy ourselves. Reciprocity kind of has to kick in. When we read this first verse, then, don't read it the way that maybe colloquially we tend to use, like, how can I ever repay you? You know, in that kind of Hallmarky card type of way. It's Christmas, and Grandma sent you socks, and you're like, oh, how can I ever repay you for your kind? Not like that, right? It's more like, think about it maybe with, like, a tone of desperation on it. Now, how can I possibly repay you with some awe and some terror? It's not a noble expression that we're making. It's a broken expression in this psalm. So, how can we repay him? Well, you know the Sunday school answer. That's the easy one, right? There's nothing that God wants. There's nothing that God needs from us, and we don't have anything that we can offer up to him. And that is not incorrect. But that's not the picture that the verses here are putting on it. And we kind of need to think about that a little bit, because otherwise these verses seem to be very disjointed from one another. If we jump down ahead a little bit, right? So we start off, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Okay, so we're looking to give him something. What is it that God wants? Jump down a few verses. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord, there's something he wants, there's something he considers valuable. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The only thing that God really wants is for holy people to join him in heaven. Now, of course, that makes a problem for us because we're not holy. I'm not holy. The problem is in our own intrinsic value. That the life that I have, the person that I am, is not something that is precious to God. We actually talk about this a lot. This is going to, if you've been a Lutheran your entire life, don't put up your hand. This might be surprising to you to find this out, okay? Because Lutherans are actually the only people who do this part of the service, right? So lots of people do confession of sins. We're the only ones who go through for our confession of sins, and we say, holy and merciful Father, I confess to you that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in thought, word, and deed. We tend to focus on that and by thought, word, and deed part, like the naughty things that we do. Those are the things that make us sinful. Those are the things that make us not valuable. Those are just the proof in the pudding. Those are the evidence that I am by nature sinful and unclean, that I am by nature not worthy of God's love, that I am not ultimately precious to him. Honestly, it's kind of one of those places where I see the supernatural world rub up against the natural world in a big way. I don't want to sin. I would definitely prefer not to. My will is that I would not sin. And intellectually, I know that I shouldn't. It's stupid to sin. It's self-destructive to sin. I know that there is no such thing as sinning to my benefit. And there's no cattle prod like poking me, forcing me to sin. So it seems like I should not be doing it at all. If I don't want to in my heart and I know that it's a bad idea, why do I keep doing it? The only explanation is it's my nature. I am fallen. So if we're going to return something valuable to God, if we're going to return the only thing that God really considers to be valuable, to be joined by holy people, we need even more blessings than what he's already extended to us. He has to give more and make us holy. We treat sometimes forgiveness like it's only the thought, word, and deed part. And that what we're really asking for when we're asking for God's forgiveness is that we're asking that God would just ignore the bad things that we do. That we do something bad and he'd real quick be like, oh, didn't see that, right? And that then we could keep on living and he would keep his eye on us. But that's not the problem. The problem is me. And over and over and over again in Scripture, we rightly beg God, don't turn your face from me. Keep watching me. Keep your eye upon me. Well, now all of a sudden, so that means, what is the nature of forgiveness? It's not to be ignored by God. It's not to have some of the things I do swept under the rug. It's that I and my nature, I have to be remade. Forgiveness is a refashioning of you into a treasure that is precious to God. And now abruptly, when we look at these other verses around these, suddenly they start to make sense. Why is it that when we're talking about offering something back to God, all of these verses are focusing so strongly on stuff that he does for us? It's because he is responsible for refashioning us. The cup of salvation that I lift up is something that he is serving to you to make you holy, because you are the only offering that he wants returned to you, to him. And so he makes you fit for that return. That's why these verses talking about what we should give to God focus almost exclusively on what God gives to you. We drink the cup of salvation because Christ drank the cup of our suffering. And we know how hard that was. He didn't want to drink it. He prayed that that cup would pass from him, and it didn't, so that our prayers that we would have it would be answered with an enthusiastic yes. And this was God's commitment, reiterated over and over throughout Scripture, that he would be the one to make us into saints, to make us precious, and that the cost for that would be his precious son. The cross is the central component of this psalm. The only thing precious to God is the death of his saints. And by Jesus taking our sinfulness and giving us his righteousness, that is exactly what we become. Not just how he sees us, that is what we become. The cross is where we become ultimately worthy of being returned to God. My fallen state swept away and paid for, and Christ's perfection given to me as a gift. The empty tomb, then, is the ultimate fulfillment of this psalm, that his empty tomb is my empty tomb, that the death of his saints is what's precious to him, that the tomb becomes the gateway through which I pass into heaven. So, what do we render to the Lord? We lift the cup of salvation that he handed us. We offer the life that he redeemed. We become the gift that he delights to receive, because the only thing precious in his sight is you, made holy by the blood of his precious Son. Amen. Please rise and we'll join our hearts together in prayer. We'll end by praying together the Lord's Prayer to celebrate the fact that there is a prayer that we've been given that is answered by God on account of his Son with an enthusiastic and eternal yes. Lord God, look upon us with love and kindness and hear our prayer to be made saints by the blood of your Son. Remake our lives into testaments of your love. Remake our souls to be holy and precious to you. And remake our tombs into the gateways to eternal life, achieved for us by your Son, Jesus Christ, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.